The God of the universe who created everything, who died for us, and yet is alive today. People go to Israel and they enjoy looking at the tomb, the garden tomb. And yet he's not there. It's not a place where his bones still lie. He is alive. I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. Aren't you thankful? Jesus is alive. And friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior today, oh, worship him. This could be your best Easter season ever, knowing our Lord and Savior who personally died for us. Before we get into the Word of God this morning, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We do thank you for this opportunity to worship you. God, we have been challenged this morning. We've been encouraged by the singing, the song service that points us back to you. Of all that Jesus Christ has done, but that he is not dead. As we think about the Palm Sunday and the coming week of what it reminds us of all that Jesus Christ went through. God, we want to have the mind of Christ as we go through life this week. And we ask that you would change us. You would change the very way we think this morning. Yes, to worship you. But this week, that we would live for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, as we looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we really highlighted verse number 14. We talked about your mind makes all the difference. That if you don't know Jesus Christ, you have a natural mind. And sometimes those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior live like we have a natural mind. Yet as we finish up this passage, we see that God doesn't want us to have a natural mind. As Paul is challenging this church at Corinth, he's saying, let God change the way you think. It's the way that you and I must make a difference is by letting Christ make a difference in our lives, for us, and through us. Follow along as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. As we think about this passage, God doesn't want us just to have a natural mind. He saves us. He wants to change our very mind from the inside out. But here as we look at this, it's not just the natural mind. It's a spiritual mind, one that is bent towards Christ. When we talked about the natural mind last week, we were reminded that the natural mind is that which is motivated by and controlled by the soul, that which is worldly or directly opposed to the spiritual. You know what I'm talking about. We often think about that as we see policies made by our government. We think about that as we see the behavior of so many people. It is directly opposed to spirituality and the things of God. Do I have a natural mind? We said a natural mind is one that has no spiritual understanding. They're not saved. It's the Holy Spirit who enlightens us, teaches us, guides us into all truth. From John 13 and 16, we're reminded of those truths. If you're here and you don't have spiritual understanding, do you have the natural mind? We said the natural mind is one that has no spiritual desires. Our very desires are changed. Philippians 2, verse 13, we just read in Philippians 2. And we ended up verse 13. For it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. A natural mind isn't one that has the desires of God. Where are my desires? A natural mind has no spiritual stability. Seems like I flit and I float. Like the Sound of Music song, I flit, I float, I fleetly flee, I fly. we just are tossed to and fro, and our emotions have us, and sometimes we're way high on a roller coaster, and all of a sudden we're in the depths of despair. The natural mind has no stability, because stability is only found in Christ. Where are your emotions? Are you allowing God to control those? Now, we did talk that as a Christian, one who has that changed mind, that sometimes our mind can still have these tendencies. We are sinners. But that we should let God change the very way we think. From verse number 15 and 16, we're reminded that I need to have a spiritual mind. Last week we asked the question, do I have a natural mind? This morning I want us to ask this question, do I have a spiritual mind? Do I have a spiritual mind? Spiritual is that which pertains to the Spirit or controlled by the Spirit. In fact, turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and Paul's same letter to this church at Corinth. He contrasts the natural and the spiritual again. Why? Remember, this church at Corinth, they had a lot of problems. Many of them were saved. Now, there are sometimes unsaved people in the midst. But the reality is that he's writing to these believers here at Corinth, but they had a lot of natural-minded tendencies yet that they hadn't yielded to God. Here in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 44, Paul contrasts the natural and the spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. We're born a natural person, right? Unsaved. You ever ask someone, so when did you trust Christ as Savior? Oh, I always have. Well, the reality is that we were born in an unsaved state. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents taught me about Christ. I don't remember a time when I didn't go to church. I don't remember a time when I wasn't taught that Jesus loves me. Some of these kids' songs that we teach our kids, man, I don't remember a time not knowing them. Did that mean I've always been saved because I grew up knowing that stuff? No. See, Paul says we were born in that natural state, that natural mind. It is born that natural. It is raised a spiritual body. When we think of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Paul says throughout here, you hath he quickened or made alive. So is your mind a spiritual mind? He says it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. We go back to Genesis chapter 1 and reminded, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It wasn't by some big bang. It wasn't just something that happened. We were reminded last week, we talked of Stephen Hawking and the sad reality of his death. And by his own admission, he isn't in heaven today. But what he believed in evolution and all of these truths that they teach going along with that. Here Paul points back to here the very first man, Adam. He says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. There was something different about humans than animals. We are different. God has made us special, unique, with a what? Soul. You may love your dog. And man, dogs are great. I remember my wife's family when they got a German Shepherd, and Karen was in high school, and man, seeing that little tiny thing that she carried across the church parking lot and showed us, and man, it was a cute little dog, and it grew up, and it was still a nice-looking dog, wasn't always the nicest, but the reality is that, man, animals have a special place in life, and you may have an animal that has a special place in your life, and I think God can give us some of those things. But there's something different than you and your dog. You have a living soul. And here we see that Paul is saying, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a what? Quickening spirit. If we go back to the book of Romans, in fact, turn to Romans chapter 5. Paul talks to this church at Rome. And he compares the first man and the last man. And here, we see Romans chapter 5. I'm in 6. No wonder it didn't look familiar. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As we stop to think about Palm Sunday and what the Jewish people did, many religious Jews, and how they worshiped Christ, at least outwardly. Hosanna, Hosanna! Taking the palm branches, laying clothes, worshiping, and yet it was all external. Because that very week, they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. Talk about instability. Remember we said the natural mind, there's no stability. Well, they had the natural mind. Well, here Paul is saying, Christ knew all of that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ knew that week when they worshiped him, that they were about to turn around and crucify him. That was the reason he came. He came to die. We'll introduce that as our memory verse this afternoon from 1 Corinthians 15. Why did he come? To die for my sin. But here in Romans 8, he came to die. Or Romans 5, verse 8. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by whose blood? His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. The way to be changed from the natural mind to the spiritual is only through Christ. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He is alive. He died and he rose again. We serve a risen Savior. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Now, who was that man? The first man, Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The natural and the spiritual. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even for them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Not that people didn't sin. Everybody sins differently. Adam, yes, the head of the human race, because of his sin, sin was passed to all of us. But we can't simply blame Adam. Well, it was Adam's fault. And Adam, what did he do? Well, it was Eve's fault. Well, in reality, yes, he blamed Eve, but who did he ultimately blame? God. God, you gave her to me. No, wait a second. I can never blame God or another person on my sin because I am a sinner. I try to blame people. The difference between the natural and the spiritual, I have to admit my sin. And here we see, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the what? Free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. Adam. Remember, we're comparing Adam and Christ. And the gift, as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man. And who does verse 15 say that is? Jesus Christ. Very specific here. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. O friend. Do you have the natural mind or do you have the spiritual mind? Christ died for you. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, this Easter is not just about Christ. It's what he's done for you. Yes, we worship him at Easter, but we worship because of what he's done for us. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation.
We are condemned in our sin. The natural man is set to die and go to hell. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. I can be justified by Christ. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, greater than the offense, greater than the sin, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Who again is that? Jesus Christ. Very specific. Jesus the Messiah. The promised one through from the Old Testament. Genesis 3 verse 15 begins to prophesy of Jesus coming. This one was for you. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. You have to receive it. It's for all. Jesus didn't just die for a select few. Jesus died for you. He says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. Yes, he died for all, but it's up to you if you'll accept his free gift. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Wow, sin is incredible. Passed down from our parents. Wow. We look at it in our own life, and sometimes we live the defeated life. As a believer, we shouldn't live that way, but sometimes we live with those natural-minded tendencies. But what makes the difference? It's Christ. Do I have the spiritual mind? Christ makes that difference. Verse 21, to finish off chapter 5. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at that description. The spiritual mind. Do I have a spiritual mind? That which pertains to the Spirit. Contrasting Adam and Christ. Man, we praise God for Adam. God used Adam greatly. Yeah, Adam failed greatly. Yet, I have failed greatly. And without Christ, my mind is left in that natural state to spend eternity separated from God in a place of hell. But Christ came to make the difference. Do I have the spiritual mind? Back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Paul says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Do I have the spiritual mind? It brings a different way of thinking. It says judgeth all things. It brings a different way of thinking. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as unto what? Babes in Christ. Now, if you haven't checked out our new nursery, check it out. Those babies are going to have fun. Man, it is a great opportunity and a beautiful place, and I praise the Lord for that. But if our babies stayed babies forever, we would be concerned. See, Paul here isn't saying, you're unsaved, you have that natural mind. He's saying, you're carnal, though. You are a carnal person who has the spiritual mind. He says, even as babes in Christ. As a believer, sometimes my mind has those natural tendencies yet. I'm a sinner, but I need to yield my mind to Christ. He brings about a different way of thinking. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We're studying Colossians in our evening services. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. We have access to that spiritual understanding. Paul's writing to believers. He says, but man, I'm praying that you'll be filled with it, that Christ will really change your life. He reminds us in 1 Corinthians that at salvation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That I'm a new creature in Christ. But I don't always live that way. I need to yield to the Spirit, His way of thinking. Do I have the spiritual mind? He changes the way I think. The truth is in God's Word. I can know the truth of God's Word. That's what brings about that spiritual change. After salvation, that spiritual mind, it cultivates and develops that. It's the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Remember, Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, who many downplayed Paul. Remember, I follow Apollos. No, I follow Cephas. I follow Christ. I follow Paul. And they were arguing back and forth. He said, this is the very word of God. This is not me. And if you and I have a spiritual mind, we will have a high regard for the word of God. That's what changes our thinking, the word of God. Am I in the word of God? Or do I just get caught up in the busyness of life? Is God's word a priority, or is everything else a priority? A spiritual mind brings a different way of thinking because the word of God has a priority. Verse 15, Paul said, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. This word judges or judgeth means to scrutinize, to investigate, and determine. A private investigator. He tries to investigate, determine what's true, what's really going on. That's how I should live as a Christian. With my mind. Judging my mind, is that a spiritual thought? Is that a natural-minded thought? Hate, envy, lust, the works of the flesh, the things that we're reminded in Galatians chapter 5 are not of God. I judge those things and let that thought process make a difference. It's not just that I'm putting it through my own filter. Philippians chapter 4 reminds me to put everything through the filter of God's Word. Judges all things. God's Word has a priority in my life. Or does it? Well, church is important. I know where my Bible is. I know where to bring it for Sunday and Wednesday. Maybe you do your devotions and you spend your quiet time on your phone. Maybe you do it on your computer. Maybe your tablet. Maybe you use your printed copy of the Word of God. But is God's Word a priority, or do I just carry it with me and do it? Check, check, check. The spiritual mind thinks differently, judgeth all things. Being spiritual, the person becomes intellectual, but more than intellectual. As a spiritual individual, I'm not just knowing facts about God. In our auditorium Sunday school class, we've been going through Baptist distinctives. And if it's at all possible for you to come on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, we would love to have you here. Why are we a Baptist church? What do we believe? These beliefs don't just affect us as a church organization. They affect us as individuals every day. It's not just to make us more intellectual of why we have the name Baptist on our building. But that Christ makes me different. One of the verses we talked about this morning was being unspotted from the world, teaching the priesthood of the believer. God's word changes the way I think. Psalm 22 or 25, verses 12 through 14. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Do I have a high regard for God? And I stand in awe before Him? That He really does see everything I do? That He knows everything I think? Maybe you're cautious in some things that you do in the world. Maybe it's your internet usage, or maybe it's how you respond and talk to people at work or other places because you know someone might be standing there watching. The reality is God knows more what I do on the internet than anybody else. God knows more what I think about than anybody else. In reality, we can train ourselves really well to smile and look happy while we're hating the person we're smiling at. Is my mind spiritual or natural? Am I yielding to the spiritual things of God? You say, Pastor, I'm saved. But do you have a spiritual mind? Are you yielding it to God? Yes, if you're saved, you don't have that natural mind anymore. But are you yielding towards that natural part of the mind? See, Paul says he judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. See, there's a different way of thinking. But the spiritual mind doesn't just bring a different way of thinking. It brings a different way of living. A different way of living. He says, in many words, not judged by others. Now, do people judge us at times? Yeah, they look at us and say, oh, man. Sometimes they look at us and say, I didn't think Christians did that. That's a shame when they say that. But yeah, sometimes people judge us. But what Paul's saying here, yet he himself is judged of no man. What? Because his thoughts affect his lifestyle. A spiritual mind doesn't just change the way I think. It changes the way I live. It brings a different way of living. Because I'm judging myself according to the Word of God. Not just my thoughts, but my actions. One of the things we all try to teach our kids is, think before you what? Speak. We often say, words are like toothpaste. Once it comes out of the tube, you can never put it back in. So we say, think. Put a filter on your mouth. That filter is the Word of God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, what is that filter? It's the Word of God. The spiritual way of thinking does affect how I speak. Sometimes it's just, I better hold my mouth shut. Bite my lip. We teach our kids that, right? As adults, sometimes we just need to do that. Or, man, it might be where I'm going or what I'm doing. I can't help it. My body longs for that, or my mind wants that, or I've got to see that, or I've got to drink that, or smoke that, or whatever it may be. Well, the reality is, my thinking changes the way I live. It brings about a different living. These Corinthians were judging and comparing Paul and Apollos and Cephas, but their judgments were false and worthless. See, Paul wasn't saying no one judges us, but that we judge ourselves according to the Word of God. And so Paul is taking their situation and applying the Word of God to them. If you are letting God's Word change your thinking, you will see how immature you are. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. You're a babe in Christ. You should be a teacher, but yet you are unlearned. Because I haven't yielded my mind to the Spirit. Yielding to God. A spiritual mind brings a different way of thinking. Brings a different way of living. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. God's Word, our faith in Christ, isn't just there for a crutch to lean on when life gets tough. God changes the very way I live. The spiritual mind does make a difference. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs talks so much about the way we live. Proverbs 28, beginning at verse number 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Don't we see that in our world? Many who forsake the Word of God uphold the ungodly things of society. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. When you and I seek the Lord, we understand His Word. We understand the ways of God. Paul already said to these Corinthian believers in chapter 1, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the unsaved. Why? They have that natural mind that's void of understanding. And this understanding doesn't just judge other people. Hey, you shouldn't live that way. You shouldn't live that way. That's wrong. I stop and I judge my own life. Man, the other day in my devotions, I'm reading, and I was in the book of Ephesians. Specifically not a book I'm preaching from. And here, as I was looking in Ephesians and reading, the Lord began to challenge me with my motivations or my priorities. See, I need to let God's word change me just as much as you need to. I need to let God's word judge my thinking, which then changes the way I live on the outside. Paul said, the spiritual mind is tender to the things of God. Brings a different thinking and a different living. It doesn't just change the way I am outside, but the way I treat other people. Galatians, again, another letter that Paul wrote. Galatians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Who's the spiritual? First, it's the saved individual. But then, am I yielding to the Spirit? Do I have that spiritual mind? Or is my mind being prone to wander? Lord, I feel it. Do I have those tendencies toward the natural mind? Paul says here, he that is spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of what? Meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You ever seen someone else do something wrong? How about here at church? Man, you see someone living that way, it's like, man, you don't know what you're doing. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what that's going to end up? Well, as we challenge people, it's not with that haughty spirit. He says, ye that are spiritual, help them to see the truth. Judge, scrutinize. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Not that I'm haughty or better than you. Paul's not saying that to this church at Galatia or at Corinth. He says, considering thyself. The spiritual person judges all things with the word of God, including my life. And as I help other people grow, I consider myself saying, whoa, I don't want to do anything that's going to put me in a place to sin that way. Spiritual mind brings a different way of thinking and a different way of living. That spiritual mind brings me to have the mind of Christ. Again, all things have become new at salvation. But can I, if I evaluate my life this morning, can I honestly say, I have the mind of Christ today? Now, each of us as believers should be able to say that every day, throughout the day. But can I honestly say that when I judge all things according to the Word of God, when I judge my thinking, when I judge my living, do I have the mind of Christ? Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word mind here is the intellect or mind, the organ of spiritual perception, not just intellect here. Stephen Hawking, as we talked about last week, he had a huge intellect. Some of his intellectual capabilities surpassed multiples of ours put together, right? But having intellect doesn't make us spiritual. And just because I know a lot about the Word of God doesn't make me spiritual. Just because I know all the Bible stories. Am I letting God's Word change my thinking and thus my living? Do I have the mind of Christ? Luke 24, verse 45. Turn back there. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. It's from the same Greek word for mind. Then opened he their what? Understanding. See, the mind is much more here that Paul's talking about. It's much more than just knowing some facts. 2 + 2 = 4. What difference does that make? When we teach our kids math, it's not just so that they can know a bunch of random facts. It's so that when someone gives them back change, when they've paid them, they know they've been given the right amount. If you know that 2 - 2 = 0, then it makes a difference when someone's giving you back change. You know basic math things. But here the reality, Paul says in Corinth, he said that understanding makes a difference in the way that I live. The mind of Christ changes the very way I live. The same word for understanding here, that they might understand the Scriptures. And what does Jesus talk about right after that? Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. People need spiritual understanding to understand that Christ died for their sins. Yielding our minds towards that of the Spirit. Again, we aren't changed until salvation. But yielding to realize I am wrong. My sin is wicked before God. The natural man becoming the spiritual minded man. It does, again, happen at one point in time. Trust Christ as Savior. I was 4.5 years old. I already told you I grew up in a Christian home. My parents taught me the truth of God's Word. My dad was in Bible college. Man, I went to Bible college twice. I went to a couple college classes with my dad when I was 5. The only thing I got out of it was I picked up the professor's pen and he said, thank you. And man, it made an impact. That man said thanks to me. But it was about that time that went to, in a small town like Stockbridge, went down to the local town park where a church there was having an outdoor vacation Bible school. And it was there that I acknowledged that indeed I am a sinner. And Christ died for my sin. I'd been taught those truths, but I still had that natural mind being taught the spiritual. But I needed to come to that personal understanding myself and admittance. It was neat. I had the opportunity a few years ago to go back to that town and look at that spot where I got saved. Nothing mystical about it, but it sure brought back some great memories. And it brought my spirit to praise God. The mind of Christ begins at salvation, and through that I can understand Scripture. It brings a renovated mind. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It brings a loving mind. Matthew 22, 34 through 38. What's the great commandment? Love the Lord thy God, and then love thy neighbor. Last week we spent a lot of time talking about the natural mind. Today we've contrasted that natural mind with the spiritual mind. Friend, where's your mind? Sometimes we tell people your mind's in the gutter. As a saved individual, if you've got that spiritual mind, is your mind in the gutter? Are you leaning towards those natural-minded things? Or is the spiritual mind changing the way you think and thus the way you live? For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Let's live that way this week then. Let's yield to him through his word that changes our thinking. Father, we thank you for your love.